case, Stefan. So, extensive general insurance experience, Australia, New Zealand, European markets, leading mergers and acquisitions and so on and so forth, continues to serve in a number of appointed actuary roles, both here and across the ditch, and very active in the Actuaries Institute, involvement on a number of committees, and authored a number of papers, and this one, Telematics, so I've got no idea what Telematics is about. So over to you, Kate.
Okay, thanks very much, Peter. So, yeah, good morning, colleagues. This presentation and the focus, so yeah, Telematics will be all unearthed. But firstly, it's about what is telematics, and then what are the implications of telematics on CTP and workers' comp. The idea of the paper originally came about when we were just investigating and looking at various fronts that telematics will impact in terms of societal trends, in terms of management of insurance and other fronts. And then we thought, well, what would the impact of such a paradigm shift, and especially a data paradigm shift, have not on just on society, but also in turn on CTP and workers' comp? So what you'll see, the slides that you've got here in front of you, this is a summary of what's in the paper. So the full details of these slides plus more is available in the paper. Just a plug for anyone who wants to read. Agenda. Telematics is technology, so we got through that one. So agenda for the day, firstly, the future. What is a potential scenario that we can have in terms of our current, we drive cars at the moment, but what can the future look like? What is telematics? Where is telematics being used around the world? And what does that mean for Australia? And then we'll delve into CTP and workers' comp. I'll explain to you why we've got telematics impact on exposure and claims and why it was taxonomy. We had a taxonomy and we looked at it in this way. I'll explain to you why in the next few slides. Lastly, I'll finish up on what's next steps. So firstly, the future. Here's a potential scenario. And I'd say the future of urban mobility is likely to look very different to our current urban mobility. This is only one potential scenario of what the future constitutes. And if you go through, you know, steps 1 to 5, it's about automated roadways, it's about platoon vehicles. This then combines with technology and enables fully autonomous driving, all of which would make driving safer, more convenient, more efficient, and so on. Now, this may look like something not quite out of Star Trek, but quite futuristic, rather than something that's more of a near future scenario. But having said that, we never know. In the paper, we haven't assumed this type of scenario. We've come back a few steps, and more around a near future where telematics is pervasive in society. So I've used the word telematics a few times already. What is telematics? So telematics is the word has come from telecommunications and informatics, bring them together, and that's telematics. I think the term broadly, and I'll explain to you more specifically how we've used it here, but broadly describes the process of long-distance transmission of information, computer-based information. In the paper here, it was all about the collection, transmission, storage of data coming out from vehicles. A lot of the time when people describe telematics these days, especially as it relates to forms of insurance, it's that form of description. It's data coming out from vehicles. It has wide-ranging applications. It's about insurance, vehicle fleet management, asset management, and the like. Now, it did start in the mid-90s. Certainly, there were patents applied for in US and Europe. US and Europe are much more developed relative to Australia in that front. And a number of Australian insurers have already launched or are either launched or are investigating telematics offerings. Now, to put it in perspective, imagine we are driving our cars and there's a unit in that car that measures GPS location. And not only that, but it also measures how you are driving in terms of acceleration, braking, cornering effects. So it measures G-force. I think it also measures altitude, just in case, I suppose, if the car is a bit off the road. Yes. So you'd be surprised, in fact, that many newer cars are already telematics enabled. There are thousands of units out there that are already in some of the new models on Lexus and some of the new models on Volkswagen. And I think there are a number of other cars as well. So yes, there are practical and theoretical challenges to achieving mass adoption of such a technology, but in my view, I think it's a matter of time. Last point here in terms of the paradigm shift, what sort of new data that we don't have at the moment will we be getting? If we think about these examples, firstly mileage. It's about total distance driven, distinguishing the highways and roads and urban versus suburban versus country. Number of trips, which in itself actually is an indicator of commercial vehicle use. It's about night mileage. It's about speeding events, so how many times does the car or the driver go through seconds or incidents which exceed the speed limit. It's about hard braking or acceleration events. All this is new information. And also, last but not least, relative speed of the vehicle relative to other cars around it. So yes, certainly a lot of new information around driver behavior. So that's telematics. Who in the world is using it? And I'll go through a tale of three countries here, Italy, UK, and the US. What this graph shows from Ptolemus, 2012, is the extent of current and expected future telematics penetration by country. So you've got Italy is the red line, and then UK is the green one, and so on. Penetration is in the sense of how many insurance policies are out there that have telematics. What proportion of the insurance policies in these countries have telematics-enabled technologies in them? Currently, Italy has the highest penetration rate, and the take-up in the UK is expected to grow rapidly in the future. So what has happened in these countries so far, and what do we see in terms of future trends? Firstly, in Italy, according to some AXA research, 1 in 5 motor insurance claims is a personal injury claim in Italy. And there was talk that a much higher proportion of those relative to other parts of the world were whiplash-related. So the Italian government introduced legislation to remedy the situation, and that legislation had references to telematics. That has been one of the reasons for high uptake. Now, the new law sets out guidelines in terms of needing accurate medical information as part of assessing an accident and injury for the driver. And also, that information needs to be assessed a lot of the time using telematics before a whiplash injury is awarded. Telematics can provide evidence of the speeds at the time of the accident, the impact, the direction of the car, and so on. So, yes, certainly would help in giving more accurate diagnosis of what happened in those last few seconds leading up to the accident. UK is another interesting one. As some of you are aware, Article 21 of the European Charter of Fundamental Rights, in the UK there was a prohibition on using gender, male, female, for insurance rating purposes. And certainly telematics, as a result, provides one approach that you don't need to rely on this quite a significant rating insurance factor. The other trend in the UK that we have observed is that the rise of e-aggregators, and certainly with e-aggregators, it's about convenience for the driver. It's a quick getting a quick quote from the internet. But having said that, the insurers cannot ask as many questions as they would like. So the combination of lack of underwriting information, but also higher price sensitivity of drivers who go to e-aggregators, led to potentially larger risk selection or adverse selection against the insurers, and telematics came in to support both of those. Last but not least, US. US is it's a market with high insurance capacity and high competition, but also the buyers remain price sensitive. The two trends that we saw in the US that that enable telematics is firstly the willingness of people to trade value for information. So they are willing to give away more information if they can get value. So in terms of insurance discounts and the like. The other one was the rise of the Generation Y and in the future millennials in terms of their willingness to divulge more information. Now, last but not least, what about Australia? So what does this all mean for us here? At the time of writing the paper, QBE and AI Insurance had launched telematics insurance products. QBE was first to launch in October, followed by AI in November. At the moment, there are no insurers in Australia that use this information for CTP and workers' comp. So that's where we stand. So before delving into the impacts on CTP and workers' comp, just a quick slide on which one, CTP or workers' comp. And certainly what we see is that once telematics becomes pervasive in society, the impact on CTP and workers' comp will really depend on the state and the territory, and whether the scheme is at fault or not at fault. So what we see, for example, Australian motor injuries and accidents will either result in CTP or workers' comp or both. And certainly there are interactions with common law and other complexities. But for example, and we know, for example, in ACT where that journey claims are included, New South Wales at the moment journey claims are not included. That's just one example of the interaction between motor accidents and CTP and workers' comp. So yes, the interactions will certainly differ. And this diagram taken from Fronsco in 2011 showcases the differences. Interactions with common law will also affect the cost of bodily injury and how that is shared among CTP and workers' comp. So, if we think about no-fault CTP schemes, naturally, as you know, that tends to result in higher proportion of motor injuries, or higher proportion of people injured in motor accidents that receive an insurance benefit. And we listed ACC in New Zealand and all the way down to New South Wales. New South Wales still being fault-based. And this is from TESS in 2008. So I'm aware lots of things have changed since then. So, yeah, there is a connectivity, and that certainly will change, will differ, I mean, by state and territory. Now, getting into the impact, we have separated exposure from claims management, and we view that telematics will impact the CTP and workers' comp in two distinct areas. The first one relating to exposure management, and this is all about drivers' exposure to motor accidents. This will impact claim frequency. The second area being claims management, so that if a motor accident was to occur and a CTP and a workers' claim was to be lodged, how will telematics impact claims management? And in this instance, it will be both about claim frequency and severity. So what are the aspects of exposure and claims? And we put together, these are some of the areas that we explored in the paper. I won't go through all of them today, but certainly we'll focus on some of the key highlights that emerged from our research. But just for an exploration, if we look at exposure management as an example, we see that the impacts will come through behavioral feedback that the telematics unit will give to the driver. It will come through policy cancellation, less so in Australia, but I'll explain. But also general societal trends in terms of identifying safe speeds for cars and identifying black spots. So that's on the exposure management, and influencing whether accident, you know, influencing a reduction, aiming to reduce accident rates. On the claims management side, we see it influencing two main areas, and that relates to first responders and also alignment of interest between insurers and the drivers. So, yeah, in the next few slides, I'll go through these in a bit more detail. But it's worth it to note that some of these aspects will give feedback directly to the driver, for example, behavioral feedback or policy cancellation, whilst others are more societal in nature. So that's about identifying safe speeds and the black spots. Okay, so if we just look at behavioral feedback, so that's the top right-hand side of the taxonomy. Telematics can prompt driver behavior and changes in driver behavior by combinations of things. One of them being alerts. So functionality of beeping when there is speeding or veering or sudden acceleration. But in most cases, the beeping is an option and the drivers can turn it off. So yes, if it's optional, certainly that will be up to the driver. Reward schemes is another way to alter behavior, and that's through things like converting good behavior or good incidents or good driving into discount vouchers for various goods and services. And I'll draw on Carrot Insurance, a company called Carrot Insurance in the UK, which actually rewarded customers for good driving behavior by giving them more insured kilometers. So, you know, rather than extending in terms of months or an extra year, they gave them additional insured and driving kilometers. Another concept is gamification. So that's about changing people's behavior by turning things into a game, you know, making learning fun. And games such as earning points, having ranking on leaderboards, regular competition amongst peer drivers, and so on. Now, gamification and reward schemes and alerts, they need to come together. Not one of them would influence driver behavior completely in their own right. And I'll draw on the graph on the right here. This was a Swedish study commissioned by the Swedish Transport Administration and Folksam Insurance. And what that showed was that that telematics did in fact influence behavior, where the test group, which had telematics fitted in their cars, tended to drive speed less and significantly so relative to the control group, which had no telematics. And I would say if we think about Australia, it's probably similar to what we have in Victoria and the option of paying to avoid to avoid loss of license, and also using dollars to top up frequent flyer points outside, just in generally in society. The second front being policy cancellation. Now, this is less so in Australia. Whilst in the UK, insurers can actually cancel policies based on bad driver behaviour or based on certain metrics. In Australia, of course, there are restrictions on cancellation and denying coverage. Of course, within CTP and workers' comp, there are also rules on premium rates and the relativities that can be charged. So, yes, Australian insurers will be less able compared to the UK counterparts to influence behaviour on this front. But having said that, these are certainly fronts that can be used. Premium loading is an example which can be used to some extent, but up to, for example, New South Wales CTP with a bonus malus system, you know, that can be used to distinguish some drivers from others. Identifying safe speeds. Now, what telematics can do is actually give an accurate profile of actual driver speeds in a certain stretch of roads or certain area. So if we think about this, if the majority of people are travelling well below the speed limit in that area, this may suggest that the safe speed limit should be reduced. And conversely, if the majority of drivers are driving above speed limit, and of course if there are no accidents or near misses in that area, then this suggests that the safe speed can be increased. Maybe two questions if I can ask you at this juncture. Who of you, just sort of by show of hands, on driving on a freeway where the speed limit is 110 kilometres an hour, drives more than 110 kilometres an hour? Okay, so that's, and then maybe just another show of hands, who of you thinks that the person sitting nearest to you is actually a better driver than the average? Okay. Oh, there you go, one person there. It's got to be 90% is better than average. I think one of the things in terms of identifying safe speeds is certainly these types of events of speeding or really not speeding, being well below the speed limit, will give an indication of what the safe terrain, what the safe speed for that terrain is. It will give evidence, which we don't have at the moment, in terms of minimum and maximum speed limits. The last one I'd like to talk to you about in terms of exposure management relates to black spots. So currently, we as motorists, organisations, community groups, we are all invited to nominate black spots and various black spot sites around Australia. And they will be then considered for treatment or changes in the road. Now, there are eligibility criteria for whether a black spot will be fixed or not, and they relate to an individual site, and they've got some strange metrics, things like at least 3 casualty crashes over a 5-year period. So if a site has 3 casualty crashes over a 5-year period, then that becomes a candidate. Another one is length of road. So over a stretch of road, if there are 0.2 casualty crashes per kilometre per annum. So I'm not sure how these were defined, but these are the current metrics. Another one is accidents waiting to happen, and that's if a road engineer via a road safety order recommends that site to be for remedial work. Now, telematics will actually help in identifying and categorizing black spots. It'll be based both on a casualty basis, and that data can be married up with insurance data, but it'll also be on an accidents waiting to happen basis. So, and what I mean by accidents to happen basis is if there is hard braking in an area or some other events, that will give an indication. It can also be around more activation of ABS or stability control systems and the like, because telematics can measure that. Now, to finish off the presentation on a claims management front, it's around first responders, and it's about identifying when a deceleration in a car is actually large enough to indicate an accident has happened. And in this instance, first responders can actually be dispatched automatically to the site of the accident scene. And if we draw on a European example, I've put this example equal. By 2015, the European Union will roll out this facility, which is similar to telematics, and this is triggered by airbag mechanism deployment and also impact sensors. So if any of these events happen, the emergency services will be dispatched. And the European Union thinks that this would reduce the response times by 50%. In rural areas and 40% in urban areas, and then that will have beneficial impacts in terms of reducing fatalities by somewhere between 2 and 10%, depending on where you are in Europe, and also by reducing severity of injuries by 2% to 15%. So yeah, certainly these types of technologies will certainly have an impact. But the question I asked at the bottom, insurers can provide a service where if there is such an event, they can call the insured and just to check that they are okay and if they need any services. So that will be a new way to connect with the insured and improve the service to the policyholders. But the real question is, should it be the insurer or the ambulance that has the first right of contact? And perhaps one way to do this would be that this data gets automatically sent to the ambulance services and they are the ones that deal with the matter. In terms of alignment of interest, I think just to make it sure, I'm not sure how much time we've got left, but It's about introducing more evidence around the time of accident. So evidence in terms of determining who is at fault and the application, and once we know all this information, how will the policy conditions be applied? How will the claims management frameworks be applied with this new information? So I've listed a few things here in terms of alignment of interest. It's about things like co-insurance, where, I mean, we know at the moment within common law, damages in some states, legislation allows for contributory negligence and the reduction of insurance payments. So to what extent will telematics information provide additional information to prove or otherwise the amount of contributory negligence? The one I really like as well is, I mean, we know at an accident scene with broken glass and shredded tires and so on, it is about reconstructing what happened in terms of the events leading up to the accident, and this can be difficult to interpret on the accident scene and the site itself. So telematics will give details of this, the speed and the g-forces and so on, and in our view then establishing fault will be less problematic. It will simplify and hasten the process of getting the payments out to people who are injured. Likewise, in terms of making the scheme more efficient and reducing scheme the amount of funds spent on legal expenses. So I'd say that's it on the claims management and exposure. Next steps, I mean, we are looking at telematics on a number of fronts, a number of areas, and there will be more papers published on the topic, drawing on what is happening in the US and the European markets. But hopefully that will help us in furthering the research. But yeah, that's it for today, and I'll be happy to get any questions from you.
Thanks very much for that case. Very comprehensive sort of introduction for me anyway to telematics. Over to the floor for questions. Don't forget to identify, etc., etc.
Hi, it's David Gifford from the Transport Accident Commission. Thanks, Case. Really good presentation and good. It's a topic I've heard a bit about, but I didn't know a lot about. So it's a you did that really well. Just one topic that jumps to mind for me is privacy. I don't really know much about the privacy regimes in Italy, UK, US, where there's obviously been greater take-up, but I imagine that would be a challenge in Australia. So is that something you've come across at all in your research and how it's been dealt with or hasn't been dealt with? And I guess follow on, do you have any thoughts about whether that could be a serious blocker in Australia to telematics getting take-up?
Yeah, great question. Thanks, David. Certainly privacy is one of the obstacles to take up of telematics. In the UK, the Australian British Association of British Insurers, they published codes on how this data will be used by insurers, codes to customers in terms of what they should expect with this data. It is personal data. It's another form of personal and private data. So, in Australia that would fall under the current legislation, but exactly what that will mean, that is yet to be tested. So, yeah, certainly in the UK, given the take-up of telematics, they published new codes around the use of this data. And I can see the same thing potentially happening in Australia. If indeed, I mean, we'll see what happens with QBE and AI and whoever else is looking at telematics. And mind you also, the car manufacturers already are gathering this data, so what are they using it for? If you are driving a BM, that's another one as well. New BMWs have telematic units installed. And the data goes cross-jurisdictional, so it goes to Europe. So I'm sure you would have signed something in the fine print it said something that you may not be aware of, but certainly that's happening at the moment. And the test to further take up will be around how society takes that.
And just following on from that case, apart from privacy, what other impediments are there that might that you think might exist, and how should they be dealt with?
Yep. There have been quite a number of impediments in the past, which are still there, but to a lesser extent. One of them relates to the cost of the technology. So back in the early 2000s, one telematic unit, and it was quite, would be around $600. So these days it's about $100 and still going down, and it's quite small. So part of it is cost. It's a cost per unit. Who pays for that cost? Is it the insurer? Is it the scheme? Is it the driver, or what have you? The other one related to data and management. So when telematics was first switched on in the early 2000s, I recall a couple of companies from my US and European colleagues, they got so much data that their systems crashed. They couldn't cope with the amount of data. I think we've moved on tremendously since then, and we have that. The other challenge relates to big data, big analytics. So how will analytics be used on that? How do you get all this data? If you imagine every 10 seconds there's a data byte coming from each driver, and that 10 seconds of information has a lot of metrics around all these KPIs that I was telling you about before. So how do you turn all of this information into decision making? And it's about big analytics. So yes, these are some of the obstacles on telematics.
Any more questions? I think we're recording, so yeah.
Sorry. Michael Fitzharris from the Accident Research Centre. I do a lot of work for the Commonwealth looking at vehicle regulation. So the question I have is implementation options.
Yeah. Yep.
Manufacturers generally take about 26 to 30 years for a new technology from OEM.
Mm-hmm.
So is it the role of the insurer or the individual to actually install the device?
Mm-hmm.
We know they all come in on high end, but what would your thoughts be on that?
Yeah, good. I mean, there are many pathways to implementation, certainly. And I'm aware of, for example, one telematics provider that says, if you want the unit in your car, you go to an Ultra Tune and they will install it for you. But it's just another step in the sales process of insurance. So, you know, there are challenges with insurers. The other one could be societal in nature. So in California, as an example, one of the local counties installed that on all their ratepayers, and that measured the bumpiness of the roads in the area and beyond, and that helped the council work out which roads to fix and which ones not to fix. So there are many pathways to application, and I think the car manufacturers you mentioned OEM, original equipment manufacturer, over a 25 or 30 period, that will happen. It will happen at some stage. It's just in between now and that time, what are the pathways to implementation? Government could be another aspect. So if society at large wants to make the most out of this technology and improve outcomes in this instance it was about injuries and accidents, but there are many other applications. So government can also play a role. The way it happened in the UK was actually very indirect, as I mentioned before. It was all around insurers introducing it because they couldn't rate on a very important rating factor. So what will the trigger be in Australia? That's something to watch out for. Maybe this paper will be the trigger.
I suppose something about implementation, it's probably more a comment, is obviously, you know, at the moment, to get people to implement it into cars, it's actually going to come and be probably more in terms of savings from a comprehensive motor point of view. So
yeah.
It's actually interaction, I think, between the CDP, the driver may well actually be the property damage savings rather than necessarily the people savings.
Yep. Typically the premium, just thanks for that, Andrew, typically the premium savings in the US and Europe has been around 20 to 30%. So there's an upfront or various ways of doing it in terms of insurance. And there was a study done on drivers in terms of how much discount would you need to divulge this information. So if I was to give you a 5% discount on insurers, would you divulge this information to your insurer? And there was the trigger point was around 20%.
Do you come across sort of selection issues in that sense? So, you know, those that are going to drive safely go for the discount, and those that don't don't have it installed?
Yeah, selection is certainly one of the major reasons why insurers want to introduce this technology. The question is, if you already have a large book and there are good and bad drivers, you know, how do you play that game? But the other question is, if you are a small player in the market and you want to grow in the market, is that a new way to increase the sophistication of the rating factor? And it's like any introduction of a new rating factor in an insurance market. It increases sophistication. The insurer tries, or the person who implements it, tries to work out how to deal with this new information. But as soon as they work it out, there is a market advantage. And part of that market advantage is getting the better drivers to be on the books or rewarding the better drivers in ways that other insurers are not at the moment. Yeah.
Final question?
From CGU WorksComp. So I think you case for that really interesting paper in telematics. I've learned a great deal. I was actually initially unsure about what your presentation would be about in terms of telematics and workers' comp, because I've never really heard about that. Do you feel that there is an application for telematics being installed, but connected to the person? So what I mean by that, we know that construction and transport industries, people who work in those industries have a lot of injuries, and all of that has a lot to do with wellness. Is there a role for telematics to play in those industries and helping those people minimise injuries and maximise?
Yeah, great. And that's just another front of telematics. So when I was saying there are so many fronts in society, that is another example. We have phones. There are I forgot how many millions of phones, 6 or so million iPhones, around Australia at the moment. So that's another source of data in its own right. If you have the right apps that interact with the purpose you want, whether it's wellness of the employees or what have you, that's just another front, and that would sit under telematics. The question is, how do you design that, and how do you the app or what have you to give you the right KPIs to influence the right behaviour? There have been examples of this kind of thing for workers who are in fleets, so say a trade fleet of some form, and it's around where is the vehicle being used, how it's being used, and certainly it was found that there is a proportion of drivers that drive very differently to the rest, and it was about managing how they drive. It's also about vehicle usage, is it driven around the right times of the day and so on. So it has applications to wellness of the employee, but also beyond in terms of managing the asset, whether it's the fleets or anything else. Certainly.
Look, that's terrific. So just let's say thanks to Case, a great presentation. Well done. And